If you take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm chapter 28. Psalm chapter 28. And we'll be looking at verses 1 and 2. And we'll take several other parts of this psalm, but my main focus is going to be found in verses 1 and 2. And I've entitled this message, A Cry to My Rock. A Cry to My Rock. The psalmist here, David, says, Unto Thee will I cry, O Lord. Listen, My Rock. My Rock. Be not silent to me. Lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Thy holy oracle, that is the sanctuary, that is the most holy place, that is where the atonement was made, the oracle. The psalmist here writes in such a time, such a dark and silent time, he says, Be not silent to me. He cries unto the rock because of the silence of God. There is never so dark a time in the believer's life as when it seems God is silent. When He has seemingly hid His face and left us alone. This we know to be true, that we all deserve to be left alone. We all deserve in ourselves to be left in the silence and God not to speak. We have sinned against God. We are condemned in our own conscience. We stand before the Lord like that high priest, Joshua. You remember he stood in those filthy rags before God. And he stood there in silence. And Satan was ready to accuse him. But what was his hope? What was his joy? It was Christ. It was Christ who stood in his place. Christ stood and argued his case. He said, Is this not one that is plucked like a brand from the burning? And you remember he told him, Grab that robe. Put it on him. Put that crown on his head. But what did Joshua say? Nothing. He had nothing to say. It was silence on his part. It is in this darkness and fear that the psalmist here cries that the Lord reveal Himself. That He speak to his heart and give him comfort. He cries to the Lord to restore his strength and destroy his enemies. Does any of this sound familiar? It sounds very familiar to me. We are often found in the silence. We are often found in the darkness. I often find myself in this condition, and sadly I feel there's times that God has left me. This is the sharpest arrow that pierces my heart, because without Christ, without mercy, what did David say? I am like them that go down to the pit. I am just as sure for hell. If God is silent to me, if God doesn't answer me, if God doesn't come to my rescue, if God doesn't atone for my sins, if God doesn't give me any peace, I am like them that have no hope. But even in this despair, God is still performing His good pleasure, His good will and providence. Remember that. That our God in silence is doing this for your good. Listen, if God wasn't silent, would you be crying to Him? Most likely we wouldn't. God does this for our own good. For it's when God is silent that I am brought low and I see again He is all that is precious. He is all that is precious. That He is my rock and He is my salvation alone. Therefore, in the silence, in the darkness, when I cannot see in front of me, I cannot see behind me, I cannot see to the right or to the left, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. God is silent. What do? Cry unto Him. That's what David did. He cried unto the Lord, my rock, Unto thee I will cry, O Lord. When the Lord Jesus preached the gospel in John chapter 6, you remember that he said this, that I came to do the Father's will. And this is the will of him that sent me, that all he had given me, I should lose nothing, raise it up again at the last day. And they murmured and complained that he was the bread of life. And he said, why are you murmuring? No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. He preached the sovereign grace of mercy of God and salvation. And you remember many of those disciples left. And Jesus turned to his disciples and he said this, will you go away also? And what did Peter say? He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Christian, when we are distressed and in darkness, our heart accuses us, our conscience condemns us and overwhelms us, when Satan would accuse us and tempt us away, where do we go? Where do we turn? To law? No. There's no refuge in law. We know this. We say like Peter, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Then in the darkness, in the void and silence of God, in the trouble, in the difficulty, let us do the same. Let us cry unto our God. Cry. Let us cry to Him, for there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other help. If God seems to be silent, you mark this down, His children will not be silent. They cannot be silent. We cannot be silent until we hear from Him. We cannot be silent. We're like blind Bartimaeus. Could he be silent? They tried to shut him up. He couldn't be silent. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he would not be silent until he was heard. The Canaanite woman, you remember, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. And what did he? He ignored her. He was silent to her. But she would not be calmed down. She would not until he answered her. And what did he say to her? He said, is it meet that the children's bread be given to dogs? He answered her harshly. But did that stop her? No, she took her place and said, truth, Lord. Even the dogs received the crumbs from the master's table. And he said, I have found so faith in Israel. So when we are in trouble, the believer will not be silent. When he is silent. And we can cry to others, and we do. I tell you, as believers in Christ, we long to help each other, don't we? And it is our place to help one another, isn't it? It's our business in this world to help our brethren, to be supportive and encouraging and loving them. But you know what we can do? We can really do nothing. I can help you, and I can try to, and I should. But you shouldn't lean too hard on me. Why? I'm flesh, just like you. The Scriptures are plain. Psalm 118 and verse 16, I'll read it. The heaven, even the heavens of heaven is the Lord, but the earth which He hath given His children are the children of men. I'm sorry, I got the wrong passage. I'm looking at this. Here we go. Psalm 118, verse 8, it says, it is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than put the confidence in princes. What good is a government? What good are men? They're just flesh. The arm of flesh shall fail. But the only arm that shall not fail is God. His arm shall not fail. Because every sinner who is without strength, who comes to Christ, will find God to be, as David declares Him. Listen. A rock. A rock. Now, why does David use this phrase, my rock? What is the Holy Spirit's intent? There are many scriptures. You can look them up, and you should. When you see Christ as pictured as a rock, this is intentional. The Holy Spirit is doing this. Why? Because a rock is firm. A rock is something that's sure and steadfast. It is a firm foundation. Christ Jesus is described as a rock. Now, to the lost, He is a rock of offense, a stumbling stone. But to us who believe, listen, this is going to be my first point, He is a sure foundation. We cry to my rock, Jesus Christ, because He's a sure foundation. Second of all, this is my second point, we cry unto the rock because this rock, Christ, is a refuge, a shelter, a protector. Thirdly, my third point, we see that Christ is our rock because He is a source of refreshment. That sounds kind of confusing, doesn't it? A rock being a refreshment. But you'll see it in Scripture that this rock, Christ, is not only our foundation, our refuge, but it is a source, a constant source of perpetual refreshment. And fourthly, the Holy Spirit describes Christ as a rock because He will, like a rock, crush His enemies. As the rock, He will destroy His enemies. Those who are not founded on this rock, who are not protected by this rock, who are not refreshed by this rock, you pay attention. You will be crushed by this rock. You will be crushed. This rock will destroy your refuge of lies. This rock that is a refreshment to so many will be nothing but a torment to you. Now let's go through each one of these points. First of all, Christ is our rock. We cry in the silence to our God, to my rock, because Christ, first of all, is a sure foundation. In the silence, in the darkness, let us remember this, that Christ constantly, presently, and continually is our rock, and we fall on Him by faith. We fall on Him by faith, for He is a sure foundation. Go to Isaiah chapter 28. And look at verse 16, what God says. He says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for," what? "A foundation." What is this foundation? A stone. A tried stone. A precious cornerstone. A sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Therefore, God here is making a contrast, friends. He's making a contrast between those who have a refuge of lies. Before this, He says of men, these scornful men, verse 14, that rule this people in Jerusalem, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come to us, for we have made lies our refuge, and falsehood have we hid ourselves. This is a contrast God is making. Men by nature make a refuge of lies. What is the refuge of lies that men make? Simply, they are salvation by works and free will religion. That is the refuge of lies that so many millions of people have hid themselves under. So many people assume that they will be accepted of God based on what Christ did plus something they have done. Friends, that's not a sure foundation. That is sinking sand. That is a refuge of lies that shall be swept away. And God puts His rock in contrast to their rock, their foundation. Their foundation is based on falsehood, but God says, I've laid a stone in Zion, and this by my grace I've set Christ to be the foundation of all His church. And all whose hope is built on this cornerstone, the gates of hell shall not prevail against. Is that what Christ said? He said, upon this rock. He's pointing at Himself. Don't listen to that false church that says He's talking about Peter. This church is not built on Peter. This church is built on the rock, Jesus Christ. And He says, upon this rock, speaking of Himself, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why? It's a sure foundation. Surely the word of the apostles and the prophets are our foundation, aren't they? This word that you have in your hand, this Bible, we say this is the source of all our faith and practice. What are we saying? This is the foundation from which all we believe, right? I believe because the word of God says it. This is the foundation of all of our faith and practice. But what's the foundation of this book? What's the source of strength and authority from this book? The foundation of this book is Christ, the cornerstone. The cornerstone. What is a cornerstone? That's the chief stone on which all the building is built. They used to build buildings like this, that they'd take a stone out of a quarry and they'd make sure that this stone, they'd try it, they'd test it, make sure, and then they would, that stone had to be such a square stone. It had to be, why? Because the whole building was set off that one stone. If the stone was crooked, the building would be crooked and the building, the structure would fall. The stone had to be square. It had to be right. It had to be strong. Why? Because the whole weight of the building and the foundation rested on that stone, that cornerstone. And if this cornerstone crumbled, the whole building crumbled. If the cornerstone was not square, the whole building was not square. And so it is with Christ, who is God's cornerstone. If He should fail, then the whole thing is worthless. He's the foundation stone set by God from eternity. And all His church is built on Him. You remember that in Ephesians, he said that all spiritual blessings in heavenly places are in Christ Jesus. He put us in Christ Jesus, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us according to the adoption of children. Listen, by Jesus Christ. All of those spiritual blessings and holiness and salvation and adoption were based on His work alone. By Jesus Christ. He set that stone. And everything that is not on this stone, you listen, it'll be cut off. Look at verse in Isaiah 28, look at verse 17. Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. Friends, there has never been a man more tried and more proven than Christ. You know that? There's never been one more tried and proven than Christ. He's the only sinless God-man. The only one. God tried Him. God tested Him. Remember, put Him out there in the wilderness. The Spirit of God led Him into the wilderness, fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Satan tempted Him in the wilderness. The Jews tempted Him. And what did He say? The prince of this world hath found nothing in me. What did He say to those Jews? He said, which of you convinceth me of sin? And even that evil governor, Pilate, he said, I find no fault in this man. He was tried. He was examined. And they found nothing in him. And through the ages, has he not been tried still? Aren't men still putting Him to the test? And you know what? He's found to be true every time. He being God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yet men are still falsely trying to accuse Him and refuse to believe on Him who God has set to be the only foundation for His church. The only foundation for everyone that believes on Him. For everyone that believes on Christ. He is a sure foundation. He is that stone which the builders rejected, but God made head of the corner. We have a foundation, a firm foundation. Here, the refuge for the lost. Christ, the rock of our salvation. His the name of which we boast. Lamb of God for sinners wounded, sacrifice to cancel guilt. None shall be confounded who on Him their hope is built. Why? He's a sure foundation. Tonight, do you need a sure foundation for your soul? Believer, are you in the silence? Does God seem to be silent? Are you in distress? Are you in trouble? Are you in grief? Listen, you who have put your soul on Him by faith, you can be sure that this foundation will not move. I thought of this. What if you're in the darkness and you can't see in front of you, you can't see behind you, you can't see this way? You know, the only thing that really matters is what's underneath you. No matter what you can't see, you can sure feel what's underneath you. And so when you can't move, the best thing to do is fall down on the rock. You can be sure that the foundation underneath you is sure. You can feel that always, can't you? I'm moving around on this floor. It's firm. It's hard. I'm not going to fear falling through. Oh, friends, we're not going to fall off. They that believe shall not make haste. Why? I'm not going anywhere. Christ is my rock, my foundation. Second of all, Christ is not only my foundation, He is my refuge. He is my refuge. Moses, when he prayed to God, you remember he said, Lord, show me thy face. Show me thy face, thy glory. And God says, you cannot see my face. You'll die. And over in Exodus chapter 30, I believe it was chapter 33, this is what God says. He says, chapter 33, verse 22, it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. The cleft of the rock, a refuge. You see, a man, in order to see God, in order to know God, in order to see the glory of God, he must be in a refuge. And that refuge is Christ. He is the cleft of the rock. Jesus, the eternal rock, was always near the Father. He said, I'm going to put you in a place by me. Isn't that where the cleft of the rock? He said, by me. That's where Christ was always, by God. He was always with God. And the Father, they are one in power, in deity, in will, and purpose. And God has predestinated us. He has chosen us who are believers in Christ under the adoption of sons and purposed that we be perfect. Isn't this His purpose? You believe. Isn't that right? Isn't this His purpose, that you should be holy? How should you be holy? The only way is He put you in Christ. The only way you and I could be perfect is in being in union with someone who is. In love, He made us accepted in Christ. He put us in that cleft from eternity. You were in this refuge from eternity. There was never a time in eternal purpose of God that you were not kept in the cleft of the rock. Never was there a time when you were not in union with Christ. We were in Christ. We were preserved in Christ until the appointed time that through faith we should realize it. Isn't this? We should experience it. Now, when we're born, there's no way you could say I was in Christ or with Christ. There was nothing in me. There was no Spirit of God in me as of yet. But according to the purpose of God, it was. And at the appointed time, it was going to come to pass. I was going to experience it because I was already in Him. In this cleft. And in the time of God appointed of our salvation through faith, His blood had already been shed. It was already satisfied, the justice of God, by His one offering. Scripture says He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And when He opened our eyes, by the exceeding greatness of His power, He opened our eyes. And when He created in us a new nature, we were able to see and experience. We were able to know how God could be just and justify the ungodly only through Christ, only through a refuge. You remember Noah's Ark. What a picture of Christ as a refuge. Noah was in the ark. He endured the storm just like everyone outside the ark. He didn't miss the storm. He didn't get out of the storm. He was just in a refuge, and that's the only way he was saved. That's the only way we're saved, believers, being in a refuge. The wrath of God fell on our refuge instead of us. The rain fell on the ark instead of Noah. And that's the only reason Noah lived. That's the only reason we live, because we're in Christ. Believer, in the darkness, remember this. He's your refuge. He's your refuge. He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. He bore our guilt. He was made sin for us. Made sin for us. Who knew no sin. The spotless Lamb of God was made sin. Yet He remained spotless. I can't explain it. That's what happened. That's what happened. He's made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous. And what was the result of that? Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 said, He, having purged our sins, sat down. In other words, the work was done. When He died, He purged our sins as our substitute. Jesus suffered the full measure of God's wrath without mercy for all the sins of His people and forever satisfied the justice of God. Well, believer, if Christ has suffered for our sins, if He has endured the wrath of God for us as our rock, how shall then the waves of justice of God ever come to us? How can God condemn us if Christ paid for our sins? I'm going to read this hymn because I think it's amazingly fits this really well. Augustus Toplady wrote this. He said, "From whence this fear and unbelief? If God my Father put to grief His spotless Son for me, can He, the righteous Judge of men, condemn me for the debt of sin, which, Lord, was charged to Thee? Complete atonement Thou hast made, and to the utmost farthing paid, whate'er Thy people owed. How then can the wrath on me take place, if sheltered in God's righteousness and sprinkled in Thy blood? If Thou hast my discharge procured and freely in my place endured the whole wrath divine, payment God will not twice demand, first at my bleeding surety's hand, and then again at mine. Turn then, my soul, unto Thy rest. The merits of Thy great High Priest hath bought Thy liberty. Trust in His efficacious blood, nor fear Thy banishment from God, since Jesus died for Thee." Whence all this fear? Whence all this trouble? Why do I doubt? Why do I fear? God had made Him to be my refuge. And if He endured my sin, can God demand twice payment from me? No. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. Why, her warfare is accomplished. You tell Jerusalem, my warfare is accomplished, for the Lord hath received double for all her sins. The Lord Jesus is thy refuge. Is thy refuge. Listen to what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 50. Now you get a hold of this. Now this is what a refuge has done for us. This is what the refuge has done for us. This is why I cry to Christ, my rock. And when God is silent, when everything is in trouble, when the world is collapsing around me, this is why I cry to my rock. Because He is my refuge, and because He had died for my sin. Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 20. Get a hold of this. In those days and at that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. You understand what that said? Anybody misunderstand that? Can you misunderstand that? He said, in that day and that time, what day and that time? When Christ died. That's the day, that's the time when all of the sins were totally eradicated forever. And God says, in that day and that time, listen, there's no more sin. No more sin shall be found. Where? In His people. Jesus Christ is our refuge. Is our refuge from the wrath and justice of God. He's that city of refuge, isn't He? You know, that avenger of blood could not touch Him. If He made it to the city of refuge, He could not. You, sinner, if God by grace let you flee to Christ, listen, you make it to Christ, you're safe. And remember, when that high priest died in that city, guess what? He was allowed to go anywhere he wanted to. Listen, the high priest already died. You can go anywhere you want to. Why? The wrath of God cannot touch you. He's your refuge. Now look at this next thing. We cry unto Jesus our rock because He is a rock of refreshment. A rock of refreshment. In Isaiah chapter 48, I'm going to read this to you. You're not going to stay there. So Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 21. And they thirsted not when He led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. This is talking about the children of Israel when they wandered in the wilderness and murmured against God because they had no water. God, in great mercy, gave them water from a very inconspicuous source. A source that nobody ever would have dreamed of. A rock. He told Moses, He said, "You hit that rock, and out of that rock will flow water enough for over 2 million people." Out of a rock. What a picture of Christ, who is the source of all spiritual refreshment and blessing. He pictures in this the church. Where will you receive your refreshment, believer? When God is silent, when there's no answer. Where's your refreshment? Where's your encouragement? Where's your strength come from? It comes from this rock. Christ, the rock of my refreshment. Jesus is a rock in a weary land, isn't He? This is a weary land. And what do you need most in a weary land? I need forgiveness. Gushes out. You need more. Listen, you can ask for as much forgiveness as you want, and there's still more. There's still more forgiveness than you. There's more forgiveness than you have sin. Pardon? You need that? Peace? Rest? Assurance? Faith? Love? Temperance? Meekness? There's all gushes out of the rock. And listen, just as no man would have ever thought to seek water from a rock, even so no man ever thinks to seek salvation from Christ. No man ever thought of it. When Christ came, He had no form or comeliness that we should desire Him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. No man would have ever sought a king in a stable. No man would have ever searched for a mighty conqueror among carpenters. No man would have ever esteemed the lowly and meek as noble and majestic. And no man would have ever sought salvation in one who was crucified and dead. Yet the King of Kings was born in a stable. The mighty conqueror and the captain of the armies of God was a carpenter. The most majestic and noble man humbled himself to be the meekest and lowliest of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient. Listen, to the death of the cross for what purpose? To save His people from their sins. He who is our eternal rock of deity condescended to be made flesh so that He should be able to bleed in the stead of His people. Therefore, behold, Jesus is that smitten rock, and out of Him flowed what? Both blood and water. Atonement and cleansing. Atonement and refreshing. Wherefore hath God highly exalted Him, and raising Him from the dead, God highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is where salvation is. It's in Him. It flows from Him. He is the source of all salvation, of all forgiveness and pardon. You remember the next time that rock was seen? It wasn't to be smitten, was it? It was to be spoken to. But Moses, you know, he got mad and he smote that rock a second time. You remember he didn't get to go into the promised land because of that, because he was a type of the law. The law cannot speak to you in peace. The law cannot speak to you in peace. It only condemns. It only charges. Now, was Moses right to condemn them? You bet he was. They were a sorry group of people, just like us, murmuring and complaining over and over. How long shall I bear with you? That sounds like the law, doesn't it? How long shall I bear with you? The law won't bear long. If you're under the law, you're under the curse of the law. But God said, speak to the rock. Why? Because that was the better picture. Once Christ was smitten, now all that needs to be is ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. You need? Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Listen, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness and you come to Christ, you shall be filled with righteousness. He's a source of refreshment. Speak to the rock. Jesus told that woman at the well. He said, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that's give this, and who it is that asks thee, you shall say and ask Him, and He would give unto you the living water, the water of life, the water of life. What is that? That's the Spirit and truth. He said, they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. When you are giving this water of life, it's the truth. Christ is the truth. And who teaches you that but the Spirit of God? Ask Him. Listen, if you're not saved, I know this, you're not asked. And if you've asked, for a mist to consume it on your lust if you've not been saved. If you come to Him as a sinner with nothing, friends, He'll give you salvation. It's a refreshing. Speak to the rock. Both the water is pictured. Jesus said in John 40, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But this water that I shall give him shall be, listen, in him a well of water springing up. That doesn't sound like it's constant. It doesn't sound like perpetual. He didn't say, I will give you a pond of water. That's how you feel. I know that's how you feel, as though you got a pond of water. No, that's you. You're a stagnant pond. He, the Spirit of God, is a well of living water springing up inside of every one of God's people. And He will give you this fountain of water in you, His Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will give you the truth, which is Christ. We who are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are free from all our sins. Perpetually, constantly being cleansed. Listen to this. He cleanseth us and cleanseth and cleanseth us from what? All your sins. How many sins you have? How dark are they? How grievous? How horrible, what evil things we have done. And yet he says, I am a rock of refreshment that cleanseth us from all our sins. Have you not found this to be true? In trouble, in times of grief, when we cry unto God, as David did, I have always found this to be true. He hears me. Look at what David says in verse 6. Blessed be the Lord, because He hath heard the voice of my supplication. Why? Because he's crying in the name of Christ. In verse 2, he says, because I've lifted up my hands to the holy oracle, because I've come by my rock, my refuge, my foundation, and my refreshment, because I've come by Him, I know this. He has heard me. Now, have you not found that to be true? He has heard me. He heard me. Every time the one cries by the rock, you can guarantee this, they will be heard. They will be heard. Verse 7, we find this, that the Lord is our strength. He says, the Lord is my strength and shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him. With my song will I praise Him. He is my strength and shield. Verse 8. The Lord is their salvation, and He is the saving strength of His anointed. You see, when we are encouraged in our rock, what do we know about everybody else? What do we know by the other people in the church, those who are other believers in Christ? I know this, if the Lord is my strength and my shield, if He is my rock, my foundation, my refuge, my refreshment, surely He's yours. He is the refreshment not only of me, but of all His people. He is their strength. He is their salvation. Through His anointed. Now listen, this should give you encouragement no matter how bad your sin is, because He's not just cleansing your sin. His blood is not just sufficient for your sins. But the Scripture says the sins of the whole world, wherever His people are in the world, all of them, His blood was sufficient to cleanse them of all their sins as well. And I'll tell you this, when we are encouraged, we're able to encourage one another, aren't we? Though God be silent to us, yet listen, He's not silent, is He? Did He just not speak? Is this not His word? It's not my word. This is His word. He's speaking. All who believe on Christ cry unto Him as their salvation. Why? He's our rock of our foundation of our souls, eternal foundation. He's our refuge. He's our refreshment. He's our strength. He's our shield. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in Thee. Let the water and the blood from Thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. And fourthly, lastly, He is not only a foundation stone, He is not only a refuge and refreshing rock, but I want you to be warned, He is a crushing rock. A crushing rock. Sinner, pay attention. Today is the day of salvation. Today. Every true believer knows this for sure, that we are set on a sure foundation. Christ is our refuge and our refreshment. He is the fountain of living water that springs up daily. He is even now our rock and sure foundation. He is presently our shelter, and He is constantly our refuge. And this rock is sure and able to save the vilest of sinners. That's what we're sure of. We're sure of this. And now by faith we enter in while there's room. Enter in. Come to Christ. Look, I've showed you the rock. I've showed you everything you need for salvation's in Him. Come in Him. Come by faith and believe on Him. And listen, if you will not, you will be damned. I saw a picture of someone that had died several decades ago. Lost, evil, corrupt person. Died in their sins. And however many years they have been there in hell, the writing on the wall is still the same. Shall be damned. And when they are there 1,000 years, the writing will still be just as sure, shall be damned. Why? God will crush His enemies. By the same rock He saves us, He will crush them who are His foes, who will not come to Christ. Look back at your text. Look back at your text. David says, draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds, according to their wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert, because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of His hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. The Lord Jesus Christ will soon come as a crushing rock. And I want to close. Go over to Deuteronomy. Go over to Deuteronomy and see this. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Chapter 32. I'm going to skirt through this. In verses 1 and 2, God declares His doctrine. And verse 3 says, I'm going to publish it. And what is His doctrine? Here it is. He is the rock. His work is perfect. Isn't that what I just said? I've been spending now, I'm at 46. I better move on. I've been spending 46 minutes telling you about the rock. And what does God say about His rock? This is His doctrine. My rock is perfect. Verse 4. He is a rock. He is perfect. All His ways are judgment. A God of truth, without iniquity, just and right. But what happened? They have corrupted themselves. That's what we've done. We've corrupted ourselves. Their spot is not the spot of His children, their perverse and crooked generation. Verse 9. For the Lord is the portion of His people, Jacob, those chosen. He said, I found him. I found Jacob, and he was the apple of my eye. I saved him. I prospered him. But verse 15, Jeshurun, His people, they waxed fat and they kicked. They forsook God. They lightly esteemed what? The rock of His salvation. Listen, isn't that what we've done? By nature, that's what we've done. Of the rock that be, verse 18, of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, thou hast forgotten the God that formed thee. How often do we do this? You believers, how often have we forgotten the rock? Oh God, help us. God's been merciful to us. But there are others that He will not be merciful to. And you know who they are? The ones who have another rock. If you have a rock that's not my rock will crush you. He says in verse 31, their rock is not our rock. Isn't that right? False free will works religion, their rock is not my rock. Their Christ is not my Christ. Why? Mine's a sure foundation. Mine's a sure refuge. Mine's a constant refreshment. Theirs is not. And so God says to them, verse 35, to me belongs vengeance and recompense. And He's going to say to those, He said in verse 37, where are their gods, their rock, whom they trusted? What are you trusting in? What rock are you leaning on? What you're resting your soul on something today. What is it you're resting on? What are you trusting in? When you die and face God, what are you trusting in? That's your rock. And if your rock is not my rock, listen, God says He's going to mock you. And you'll say, where's your rock now? Where is it? In verse 43, He said, rejoice, O you nations, with His people, for He will avenge the blood of His servants and render vengeance to His adversaries. That's what He's going to do. Bob, but here's my hope. Listen, He will be merciful unto His land and to His people. And what did Moses say? He said, verse 46, set this in your heart. Set this in your heart. Oh, listen, believer, are you in the silence? Is God not speaking? Are you in distress? Believer, are you in distress? Then cry to your rock. Why? He's the foundation of your soul. Don't lean on men. He's the foundation. He's your refuge. He's your refreshment. I want to close with this. As a reminder, since He is my rock, He's my refuge, and He's my refreshment, I want you to know this. No matter what your experience in this life, and I mean it, there's so many things that are so full of pain. There's so many trials, so many difficulties every believer faces in this life. But I want you to know this. Whatever you experience in this life, you can be sure of this. God is the same. All we who believe on Christ are sure that He is the first cause of everything. And we bless His name. We trust Him in every circumstance. Listen, this is what Spurgeon said. He said, Christian, the Christian knows. We know this. No change with regard to God. He may be rich today and poor tomorrow, and may be sickly today and well tomorrow. He may be in happiness today and tomorrow be in distress. But there is no change with regard to His relationship with God. If He loved me yesterday, He loves me today. I am neither better nor worse in God than I ever was. Let prospects be blighted, let hopes be blasted, let joys be withered, let mildews destroy everything, and I have lost nothing if I have God. If Christ is my rock, no matter what happens, all is well. Why? Because my relationship with God doesn't change. He's still my rock, even when I can't hear Him. Even when I don't feel His presence, He's still my rock, my refuge, my foundation, and my refreshment. Is He your rock? That's a serious question, friends. I'm not asking that just to be... I'm not trying to be cute with this. Is He your rock? That's a serious question you need to be asking. Because if He's not your rock, He will crush you. But if He is your rock, He'll embrace you. He'll hold you. And He loves you. No matter what happens in this life. My eternal rock. Crying to Him. I pray God will bless this.